I've been told that majority of us this evening are students. So I believe as a student, you can't wait to receive a notification that says, we have a great pleasure in notifying you that you have met all the requirements for the following qualification. Please accept our congratulations and invitation to the graduation ceremony. Such great news. That time of the year when you look back and you say, finally, I'm going to be rewarded for my hard work and discipline. True, we all look forward to some reward after any hard work, after any kind of a commitment we put on. However, this evening in our lesson, I would like us to focus on something that is far more greater than just a certificate of graduation. Please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. We'll be looking at verses 14 to 30. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. I'll read it for us. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take that talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be more will be given. He will have an abundance. But from one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thank you for the reading of the scripture. So we continue with our series of serving the Lord with gladness. And this evening we're looking at the subject of the servant's reward. The servant's reward. So in this Matthew, just to give you a bit of a background of the context, near context, this is in Jesus' Passion Week. That's his last week before his crucifixion, and he's spending couple of days in the temple, basically to focus his attention on the priests and the Pharisees. So in chapter 21, we see that he responded to their attacks about his authority. They ask him, who do you think you are? and he's giving them what authority he has, what authority is doing these things. Then he also warned them in parables. In chapter 22 of Matthew, we see that he even countered the attempt to trap him with religious questions. He gave them answers that no one could even bother to ask more questions. Chapter 23 of Matthew, he then announces woes on them because of their wickedness. And then in chapter 24, after they've left the temple with his disciples, privately sitting somewhere else, he's discussing events that will precede his coming, his second coming. Then, in this context, in chapter 25, he's now explaining to them about the coming of the kingdom of God. So in chapter 24, he's telling them this will be the events that will happen before my second coming. And in chapter 25, from verse 1, he's like helping them to understand what the kingdom of God is like. So the first parable is about the parable of the 10 virgins, where basically the theme there is that those who wait for the second coming of the Lord, they should wait with readiness, they should wait with that eagerness, they should wait being prepared for the second coming of the Lord. And then in this parable from verse 14 to verse 30, then he's explaining to them that those who wait upon him should wait and continue to be serving unto him, should be characterized by faithfulness in service to the master. So this is parable about the 10 talents, and actually it teaches us about the kingdom of God. What should we be doing while we're waiting for the coming, the second coming of Messiah? And basically from this, we will see that the Lord, like this master, entrusts his servants with talents from verses 14 to 18. And we will also see from verses 19 to 27 that the Lord will come back to settle an account with his servants. And lastly, in verses 28 to 30, we will see that the Lord really rewards faithfulness to his servants. So those are the three essential truths about those servants who wait for the second coming of Christ. Verses 14 to 18, the Lord entrusts talents. We have the parable start by saying, Jesus began to tell them about this master who left his servants with some possessions. He gave them talents. In this context, we understand it to be money. He gave them money to each one of them according to their abilities. Five to the other, two to the other, and the third one received one talent. I don't know how much the talent worth, but since Jesus himself doesn't even bother to explain the value of it, and we can just look at it in the context of us. As we wait for the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ, that will mean Jesus has given us talent. Jesus has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We need nothing to continue to serve him. We need nothing, and we lack nothing to be obedient to him while we wait for him. Jesus gave those, and the Bible tells us that the first and the second, really, out of acknowledgement of their responsibilities, they work so hard to trade the money so that they can get more. Clear enough that the master was so wise in judging their abilities. The one with five talents received more, five, and the other with two also got two more. However, Verse 18 tells us that the third servant simply dug a hole and put the money in the ground. Although the master knew that this third servant doesn't have as much abilities as the other two, still he was expected to perform according to his own ability. The reality is that God does know us. He knows every one of us. And he does blesses us and gift us in a way that we can be able to serve him. And we read from the text in verses 19 to 27 that after a very long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so will be when the Lord comes. Then both the first and second reported that they have been faithfully in making sure that they have some interest from the money that they have been given. The first and second doubled that amount. They presented their offer to the master. Master, look here. You gave me five. I managed to get five more. And the master really appreciated their effort. Really appreciated that he trusted them to deliver in their delivery. And he's rewarding them. He's congratulating them. Well done, good and faithful servant. They have been able to be faithful with little that he has entrusted to them. And he promised them that he will even give them greater responsibilities. And also that they can share in his joy. But the other servant had a wrong understanding of his master. Even if he had the right understanding that the master is that kind of a master who like to reap where he had not sown and gather where he did not scatter. If also that was the case, he should have obeyed the master. He should have still delivered because he's a servant to the master. But instead, he decided to say, no, I know you, but I will disobey you. I will not give you what you need. And we need to think about this in the context of while we wait for the second coming of Christ. When Jesus returns, he will settle the account with us. He will judge us. He will reward us. For those who have been faithful to him, he will reward them. He will say, well done and good and faithful servant. Share into my joy. And such a joy, such a reward, you know, that while we wait, if we continue to serve him faithfully, there is a reward of heaven. There is a reward of a promise of that we will be with God in heaven. We will share in his joy. We will be in his presence. And that should be an encouragement to us. We should be encouraged that the Lord, even when he's far away from us, even though we're still waiting for him to come, he knows what we're doing. He's with us. He can see what we are doing. He knows everything, and he will reward us according to our faithfulness. And the joy is that there's no way he will be asking, why didn't you do things like this one? There's no comparison and competition, but he say, you have been gifted in accordance to your abilities, and you are required to deliver according to that. What have you done? We read that when the Lord comes to reward faithfulness, he takes the talent from him who had really not done much with it except to hide it and to give it back to him so that he does not lose it. And the Lord, the master, was not pleased with that. Why? Because he expected that we have to do something about it. In our context, thinking about what is happening in this, the lesson from this passage is that God, thus, according to even Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. He has plugged in into his body that we can be able to serve him. His concern is not much of what we do for him, but that we are able to obey and serve him. Obedience, is that the key of this? When the master has given you a task, do you obey him in your service? To the believers, God has given us the ability to serve him through Jesus Christ, his Son. He has given us the varieties of gifts that we can be able to serve him. When Christ returns, which side would you be? Would you be able to say, yes, Lord, I have made use of the giftedness, the talents you have given me? Would the master come and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Is there anywhere you feel you are part of the ministry of the church? Things to consider. If you are not a member, consider becoming one. Speak to one of the church elders. If you are a member and you are not part of the Bible study group, please find more information and be plugged in. Why? Because the maturity of the church, comes from when each part of the body is working properly, makes the body to grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's what we read from Ephesians 4 verse 16. And this is what Christ expects us, that we be able to serve while we wait for him, because there is a reward for those who continue to do so. And there's a warning also to those who don't know him, that he will be coming again. Jesus Christ will be coming again. And if you don't know him, this is what he said to the servant who does not use the abilities that has been given to him. And this by no means does it mean that we could lose our salvation. But this is a warning that when you look into your life, when you do that introspection about your life, do you see yourself being obedient to God? And that's the danger here. The danger is not that sinners will go to hell. But the danger here is that those who think they are Christian might end up in hell. The danger is that those who fellowship with us might end up being in hell. And that's not something that is hidden, that we would not be able to know. We're not gambling about salvation. It's not that we will be clueless until that day. But the Bible keeps on bringing the warning to say, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, I have been doing this, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Many on that day, they will be saying, Lord, Lord, I have been doing this. I have been prophesying in your name. I have been casting out demons in your name. But many on that day, the Lord will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why? You workers of lawlessness. Clearly, this point us to say, even if we could give a lip service that we are part of the fellowship, we are part of the body of Christ, if indeed we have not surrendered ourselves to the Lordship of Christ, there's no way we could mislead God when He comes in judgment day. We may fool ourselves, we may fool other people, but we cannot fool God. And it's not a hidden something. It's that when you say, I never knew you, you never been part of my people. Why? Simply because you continue in your disobedience. You continue in your sin, and that's the measure. Are you living a continuous life of sin, or do you repent from your own sins? This is a call to obey Him, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow Him daily, to serve Him. He's the Master. He expects us to serve Him while we wait for Him. And there is a reward, the greater reward of heaven. Serving the Lord out of love, not out of fear of hell, but out of love, embracing Him for the grace that we have. It's when you know of the holiness of God, an attribute that repeated itself in holy, holy, holy is the Lord. When you are encountered, when you have an encounter with such God, such a Master who's holy and holy and holy, and you can only see your sin, and you can only cry out to Him and say, woe is me, judge me, curse me, condemn me. And you can only rely upon His grace. When we believe and trust in Him and continue the walk of obedience unto Him, and knowing that on that day when He comes, He will say to His people, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the good news we want to hear on that day. Our desire shouldn't be to have a good life now at the expense of the grace of God. We should desire to see Him when He comes. We should desire to be His bride when He comes. We should focus on the issue that I want to share in His joy when He comes. And that can only be through obedience. If ever you hear those words when you graduate and like say, finally I graduate, this is great news. And now you can't wait for a letter of a job offer, and that will be like a dream come true. However, we need to remember that the greatest reward is to share in God's joy. That's the greatest reward. That's because the greatest problem we have is the problem of sin. We can plan our ways and say, I need to do this, I need to graduate, after I graduate, I need to work, after work, I will have a buy a car, a house, have family, get married, have children, and so what? You will have children, you have family, and so what? You have money, so what? What is it? Would you say now it's enough? What else? But should you think about this joy of sharing in God's joy and doing all that to the glory of God while you looking forward to the greater joy of heaven? And that should characterize us while we wait for Him. That's why the passage is pointing us to say, there is joy. We can't wait for the Master to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But it's unfortunate that not only that, but because of We love sin more than we love God. We will choose darkness more than we could choose light. Some may lose this grace when it's really there being exposed. Many or some of us hearing God's word morning and evening during the week, everywhere, every ministry centered around the word of God, hearing the grace of God, partaking into the grace of God, being part sharing, tasting, and still continue to live in disobedience. The Bible say, the master will say, you know what? Even that taste of fellowship will be taken away from you. Even that taste, we've been tasting this, we've been part of it, we've been benefiting from the fellowship, but you are not part of the body. Say, you know what? Be clearly, be separated. And then that servant will be cast into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. As I close, I hope we remember the life of Paul. 2 weeks ago, we hear the sermon on the life of Paul. And after all the labor that Paul has put for the glory of God, he could finally say at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And this is the goal. This should be our goal as we seek to honor him, that in that day or on that day when he comes, we could know for sure that all that we will receive is the crown of righteousness. Don't waste your life. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. When Christ comes, don't be on the right side, on the wrong side. Because we don't want to be experience the full wrath of the master. We want to be those who are rescued, redeemed in Jesus Christ. Those who can look at the pouring out of God's wrath on his son and say, and because of that we have attained the righteousness of the son. Not on our own merits. There's nothing we can boast about except to boast about the grace we have in Jesus Christ. And it's still available to anyone who put their faith in him. Anyone who say, really, I just want to die to self and to live to his grace. And then you know that on that day when he comes, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. We need to serve him. Be plugged in. There are like so many ministries in this church. Be part of what the Lord is doing. Don't sit back and expect people to serve you. Think of how can you be able to serve others. And each and every one of us, if we are having the attitude to serve, we will serve and we will get saved. And this is the attitude of those who wait for him. We can't say, I'm a student, there's nothing I can offer. Then I'm poor, there's nothing I can offer. Then I stay that side, there's nothing I can offer. No. God has brought us together. We may be different, a diverse group, but in our uniqueness, God has given something that we could share with others. And don't hold back. Save others as you are get to be saved. Understanding that the Lord has entrusted us with so much talent. And there is a day when he will come to settle the accounts. And on that day, he will reward the faithfulness. And I know our desire is that we can be rewarded. And there is a heaven awaiting for everyone who is in Jesus Christ. May when he come, may he find you waiting while you serve him, waiting while you continue to be obedient to him. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, indeed, we do confess that we have always been faithful to serve you with our whole hearts, our whole mind, whole effort, strength. And how we pray, Lord, may this word come in a source of an encouragement unto us that we can serve you with our whole heart, that we can love you with our whole being. How we pray, Lord, for those who don't know you, that they will see this privilege of being part of your body, this privilege to be found in you, the grace we have still, and that they may surrender their lives unto you. We pray, Lord, that may the Holy Spirit do the work that no man can do. May you convict us for where we go wrong. May you continue to help us to repent from any known sin in our lives, that we may bring glory, that we may walk in a manner worthy of your calling of salvation. We ask all this that your name may be glorified. Amen.